good morning. I'm Marjorie Drake. I'm the coordinator for Saturday Morning Laughter at UT. So you receive emails from me that you guys like, but a lot of people don't. Hopefully we fixed that issue. I'm really excited to kick this call off. Dr. Pedro Morales has a really exciting presentation about Fibonacci.
I hope so.
Everything Fibonacci. No pressure. We have a big crowd. We're excited to have you all here. I think it's more fun with more people.
Yeah, sure.
He probably agrees. So I'm going to turn it over to him. Please enjoy. We'll probably take a break in the middle and have some more snacks.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for being here. And you're probably the only crowd that it's crazy enough to be on a Saturday morning doing math, which is great. Because when I was young, that's pretty much all I did in my Saturdays. So I actually, when I was in school, I participated in math competitions. And basically every Saturday, that was my life, doing math from 8 to 5 every Saturday. And then I just went home and crashed because it was very tiring to do math all day. So you're brave. You're brave. Instead of just sleeping or watching TV, you're here. I like that. So the plan for today is that I'm going to show you a bit about Fibonacci numbers. How many of you guys have heard of Fibonacci numbers? It's quite famous, right? And I guess that's one of the reasons why I chose this topic to talk about, because there's so much out there about Fibonacci numbers that it's very interesting. So let me start with one thing. Let's see if this thing works. It does work. Yay. So let me start with this. That's a picture that I took on my recent trip to Guatemala. That's where I'm from. I went there for the summer, and these are the Mayan ruins called Tikal. So if some of you guys have seen Star Wars, these are actually the ruins that appear, I guess, at the end of episode 4 or 5. I don't remember. Actually, next time that you watch it, pay attention to the very end. You will see the exact same shot, these two things right there. Now, you might wonder, what does this have to do with Fibonacci? And that's a great question, because it has nothing to do with Fibonacci. Just want to show off a little bit of my country. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, if it's a good place to visit, very cheap and very nice. So, fun with Fibonacci. This is a nice poem that I found online, so I didn't do it. But I didn't know it was actually a thing to do these kind of things. It's like the haikus, you know, like those Japanese poem style, right? This is also like a style of poetry. So this one is nice because it says, one, small, precise, poetic, spiraling mixture, math plus poetry yields to fib. Now you might be like, okay, that's cool, but now what does this have to do with Fibonacci? So the thing is that if you count the syllables, that has to do with what we're going to discover about the Fibonacci numbers. Okay? So later on, we'll probably go back to this. And again, this is a thing. I didn't know this was a thing. So after the talk, hopefully, you can do some more fibs. That's one of the goals. Okay? So let me just quickly give you a kind of like a story about Fibonacci, or who's this guy Fibonacci, because he was actually a guy. Okay? He was a person who has to do something with the numbers, I believe, and that's why we call those numbers that way. So Fibonacci was a guy. He was a person that lived almost 1,000 years ago. So this guy was an Italian merchant mathematician that lived around the 1200s, something like this. And probably some of these facts you don't know about Fibonacci, but Fibonacci is the one responsible for us using our numbers. Like the symbols that we have for 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 9, those symbols are actually his fault. So basically, if you look any number on TV, on your books, wherever you see numbers, you should remind you of Fibonacci, because he was the one that introduced, he said, hey, let's not use the Roman numerals, because those are not really handy to work with, right? So you remember X, L, V, I, those are Roman numerals, right? Have you ever tried to write numbers using Roman numerals? Yeah? That's kind of like not fun, right? Have you ever tried to add numbers using Roman numerals? Yeah? So like, for example, 13? What is 13? That's if I remember. Should be X, right? I. So that's the number. That's 13. Say I want to add 13 plus 8. Now that's a mess, because you're trying to do XV or something like that. And how in the world, whenever we do this addition, we're going to come up with this? That doesn't make any sense. Right? See, that doesn't make any sense at all. So Roman numerals were not very handy for calculations. Now imagine trying to do multiplication using Roman numerals. That's even worse, right? So this brilliant guy, Fibonacci, he was actually the son of a very wealthy man. They had a lot of money. They were merchants, so they were trading stuff. They were buying and selling goods. And in one of his trips to India, he discovered that these Indian guys were using a different type of numerals. They didn't record numbers using the strange Roman numerals. They were using another type of numbers. So he kind of like discovered that these numbers were very simple in order to do calculations, because instead of doing this, you could do this thing. Oops. You could do this thing. And then we kind of like know how to add numbers like this, right? Because the algorithm or the procedure to add numbers is simpler. We know what to do with this. So this one makes a little bit more sense than this other weird letter system, right? So he realized these things, and he realized that also using these numbers, it was easier for doing products to multiply numbers. If I want to multiply 17 times 32, okay, it will be boring, but I can do it, right? I mean, of course, remember, this time people didn't have these things. Nowadays, it's like you grab the calculator and ask Siri, right? But before, we didn't have these things, so we had to do it by hand. And the funny story is that we usually don't realize this, but if you were selling stuff, and say you sell your stuff at $150 a piece, and then somebody wants to buy 17 of those things, they will ask you, so how much do I have to pay you? And, well, we know that we just have to multiply to get the answer, right? But right now, you can just grab your calculator, punch it in, and say, well, this is what you need to pay me, right? But imagine what would happen 1,000 years ago. There was no magic black box that will tell you how much you have to ask for. You had to do it yourself. And the thing is that if one person was doing calculations doing this, using this, it will probably take him like good maybe 10 minutes to do just a simple multiplication. While here, using this, it will take you like, what, 30 seconds maybe? Yes.
I tried.
You tried?
17 times 32.
Using that?
No, anywhere. Like,
you use those?
Those,
and you could do it?
Yeah, I think it was, is it 244?
That's a great question, I don't know. 244. I can trust you. You seem like a smart kid, so I'll trust you. Okay, so I'll trust you, but you know how it's easier doing this, right? It's easier doing this than doing it using the Roman numerals. And again, this is actually Fibonacci's fault. We have this advantage because of Fibonacci. So that's one thing that usually people don't know about Fibonacci. He wrote this book that it's called the Liber Abaci, which is basically the book of calculations. That's the translation, the book of calculations. And basically it was like the Google of his time. Because once you don't know something, you Google it, right? And for this book, people will use it as the Google for calculations. Like, I want to do a product. Let me look how it's done. So then there is like a page where products are explained. And there is another page where proportions are explained. There is another page where solving equations was explained. So this was a very, very important book at the time. And again, most people don't know that about Fibonacci. So I thought that was very, very important because it's more than just the Fibonacci numbers that he introduced. But by the way, in this actual book is where this famous thing actually appeared. Okay? So let's talk a bit about the Fibonacci numbers. And also maybe we have the graphing paper. Where's Margie? Okay. So, again, in this book, very important book, he proposed a problem. So I'm going to give you the problem right now. And I want you to solve the problem. Okay? Okay? Does that sound good to you? So, this problem, again, seems very applied. I'll try to explain it the best I can. And the solution is very surprising, I think. So, here's the following problem. Suppose that you have, or you are interested in counting rabbits. Because, of course, it's 1,000 years ago, there's no TV, no internet. What else can you do, right? Okay? So we're going to count rabbits. That's what people were used. Have you ever tried to count rabbits or chicken? Nobody? Am I the only weird guy that have done that? I mean, even chicken. Counting chicken is freaking hard because they move. I mean, they move a lot. So sometimes counting rabbits could be exciting as well, right? So these are the rules for our little experiment, okay? We are going to start with a pair of rabbits. So two rabbits, male, female, two rabbits, okay? They're baby rabbits. Now, this is, of course, a very simplified version of how rabbits actually behave. Very simplified. So, we are going to assume that rabbits become adults after 1 month. Okay? So, we have baby rabbits, and after 1 month, they are big. Okay? You have to wait 1 month until they're fully grown rabbits. Does that make sense? So 1 month time. And then the second thing is that whenever you have a fully grown rabbit, or pair of rabbits, I would say, after 1 month, they will have babies. So let me repeat the assumptions that we have. First of all, if you have a baby rabbit, it will take 1 month to become a full grown rabbit. Okay? And then if you have a full grown rabbit, it will take him or this pair 1 month to actually have offspring. Does that make any sense? Yeah? Okay? So those are my rules, if you wish. Those are the rules. Of course, one of the rules is that baby rabbits cannot have baby rabbits, right? The only ones that have baby rabbits are fully grown rabbits. That's one of the rules as well. So the question is, with those two very simple rules, what happens if I start with one pair of rabbits? What would happen after 1 month? What would happen after 2 months? What would happen after 3 months? How many rabbits would I have in total? Okay? So the question or the main problem is, starting with a pair, and I'm counting the pairs just to be a little bit just easy on the calculations. Starting with one pair, how many pair of rabbits would I have after 1 month? How many pair of rabbits would I have after 2 months? And so on. Yes? Everything. So we're counting rabbits. So we're counting the babies and the adults at the same time. We're starting with baby rabbits. Okay? So the first month, I just have a pair of babies. Does that make sense? Okay, so one more time. We have just these very basic rules. In order for a pair of rabbits to grow, you need a month. In order for a pair of fully grown rabbits to have offspring, you have to wait a month. The question is, if I start with one pair of baby rabbits, how much pairs of rabbits would I have after 1 month, after 2 months, after 3 months, and so on? Yes? Suppose that they're immortal. They never die. Because they never die, right? Okay? So, as many as they can. As long as they are alive, every month they will have babies. Okay? Again, this is a very simplified version of actually what happens. So, can you try and find out this thing? And also talk to your neighbors. Talk to them and see what they think.
The key is every month they have a pair of babies.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Exactly.
So let's see. All right, so how is it going? Yeah? Can somebody tell me how many pairs do we have the first month? Starting month. One, right? Okay, very good. Is it a baby pair or an adult pair? Baby, very good. So, let's see. The first one, I have just one pair, right? This is month, and this is the number of pairs. What happens in the second month? One pair. Is it a baby or an adult? It's going to be fully grown, right? Maybe I can say like a baby and then I have an adult, right? Okay. Now what happens in the third one? This is probably where things are starting to get interesting, right? So what happens at the third one? Yes. Sorry? So this big guy will give birth to a pair of babies, right? And then they will still be alive. So basically, how many pairs do we have? We'll have two. Basically, we'll have one little one and one fully grown, right? Is that right? So we'll have a total of two. What happens at the fourth month? How many we'll have in total? In total, we'll have three pairs, right? Okay? So let me see if I can keep track of these, because this will still be there, right? Still big. This one will become adult, right? And then this will have babies. So I'll have a little one in here. So far, so good? Let's do a couple more just to see if we all agree, right? So, fifth month, how many do we have?
We've got the original pair.
Yes.
And the second pair.
Yes.
They both have a pair of babies.
Okay, very good. So I have the original, you said, the other one, and they have little babies.
They have babies plus the third one.
And then the third one will become big, right? So it will be something like this. Do I have this right? Yeah? So I have a total of how many?
Five.
Okay. Let's compute the last one. So how many do I have in the last one? Yeah.
Eight.
Total of eight. So let's see. These three will still be big, right? So we'll have three bigs. And I guess these two will become fully grown, right? And then I guess these are too young to have babies, right? Because they just become fully grown. But these two, they can lay offspring, right?
No.
Right? So they can also have babies, right? Everybody that is big can have a baby. Okay. And then, do I have eight? I guess we're good. Let's see. I have a little thing in here. Let's see if it works. Do you guys see that? Yes? Maybe let me make it a little bit bigger. Maybe too big? I don't know. All right. So here we have what is the month. So after the first month, after the second month, and so on. And here we're counting the number of pairs that we have. Let's see if it matches what we found. This is for just the first 2 months. How about the first 3 months? Let's see. Here it's saying we started with just one pair, right? This pair actually became mature. That's the meaning of the color orange. Is that orange for you? Yeah, okay. So orange, that's the meaning of orange. Then the meaning of brown means that they are still alive. That was a great question that you guys asked before. And then the yellow part means, oh, this guy's actually had babies. Okay? So after the third month, Let's see if we have the same thing that we had before. Yes, we had somebody that was already an adult and some new babies. Okay? What happens, say, for 5 months? Okay, so I have this. This is, again, the starting point. And you can see, like, we are keeping track of the very first pair, right? Then the second pair is right here, and they're still living. They're still alive. But this, you can see the yellow arrows, tells me what are the new babies that we're finding. So if you want, I can show you what happens for the first 8 months. Hopefully. Come on. You can do it. Calculate it. Yes, there it is. So we have the number of pairs. There it is. Number of pairs. We have 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. And we can continue this, right? So what's the name of these numbers? The Fibonacci numbers, right? Or the Fibonacci sequence. And this is where actually these numbers came from. So it was a very silly question, maybe, I don't know, but it was trying to model the population or the growth of a population of rabbits. Of course, a very simplified version of what actually happens, right? But you can see that actually they grow pretty fast, right? And usually we associate that with rabbits. They really reproduce pretty fast. So in some sense, it's not maybe 100% accurate, but it's a good approximation of how these things work. All right. Any questions so far? Complaints? Jokes? Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I guess the golden ratio seen everywhere in nature, I'm wondering, like, how do you incorporate... How
are
the effects of rabbits dying off?
That's a very good question. I think you have to, first of all, you have to quantify how fast they're dying, right? Like, probably an average, because, of course, every individual will behave differently. And in the end, you can model that by basically just subtracting something to the Fibonacci numbers. Okay, but of course you have to take into account how fast they're dying, and there are several ways of doing that. It depends if it's because of like starvation or because there's a predator, and you have different models for each of those considerations. So that's where actually the thing becomes to be a little bit more interesting, right? It's like, now I just don't want to have baby rabbits, I want to kill them. So it's, how can I kill them, right? There are many ways of doing it. Yes?
So let's say, like, if rabbits lived X months, like, say they lived and then had babies and survived to the third month and lived another month and then died, like, let's say they lived X months incorporating this variable, how would it change the Fibonacci? Like, would we still see Fibonacci?
It will be there, but it will be hidden. Because, again, we will not have just 1, 1, 2, 5, 8, and so on. But we will have to subtract some numbers, right? Mm-hmm. The number of rabbits that were dying.
Uh-huh.
So, in essence, you will see it somehow there, but they're hidden. You would have to subtract some numbers. So that's a very good question. Because still, whenever we want to do like the more realistic method, if you wish, still we will have some replicates of this Fibonacci. Yeah.
Do you have an idea for a sequence like the Fibonacci?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that the bunnies aren't immortal and the bunnies just die of old age after a year.
Mm-hmm.
But they reproduce every time after keep reproducing until they die.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a little bit of a slower.
Mm-hmm.
Rise than the Fibonacci sequence, but it would still rise.
Yes, that's very true. So you have a lot of patterns that you can spot, even when you make this very simple question a little bit more real every time, right? Which I think it's very interesting. So that's the Fibonacci sequence, at least the first few of them, right? We have 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144. And of course you can, Leslie, you can potentially keep going, right? I mean, you can do this forever if you want. I don't want you to do it forever. Maybe for just 3 hours straight. Maybe that's good enough, right? Okay. But now the question is, a very simple question. What do you think is the pattern in order to find the next Fibonacci number? So, if you know the pattern, maybe you can explain it to somebody that doesn't know that. Does that make sense? And if you know the pattern, try to look at the numbers and try to figure out if you can find a way to come up with the next one. So, question is, what would be the next Fibonacci number in that sequence? So try to think about it. And again, if you know the pattern, try to explain it to somebody. Okay? And also try to check your pattern with the very first ones, right? See if that pattern actually works with the first ones, and see if you can come up with the next one, with the next number. Sorry. So what's the pattern, guys? What do you have to do? Yeah.
You have to add the number that you have with the number before it.
So the number you have plus the number before that. And that, does that work for the first ones as well? So like if I look at the number, say the number 2, you're telling me that number 2, this guy right here, is 1 plus 1, which I think it is, right? 1 plus 1, yeah. Okay. So in order to get the number 3, you said, I just have to add the previous 2 numbers, which is 2, 1, 1. And it does work, right? Number 5 is going to be 2 plus 3. Yes, it is. Number 8 is 3 plus 5. Yeah. 13 is 5 plus 8, yes. 21 is going to be 8 plus 13. So I think it does work. And if I apply your idea, what will be the next number then? Yeah. 233? Is that right? So you're saying that the next Fibonacci number should be 233. And I actually don't know it. 233. Is 233 the sum of the two previous ones?
Yes.
So it should be what? 89 plus 144, right? And hopefully, I trust you. I trust you. So it's 233. And then what if we want to find the next one? What we do?
377.
377 would be 233 plus 144, is that right? And this will be 377. And if I want to keep doing this, I mean, I can keep doing this forever, basically, right? Does that make sense? So again, whenever you have like just a spare couple hours that you don't have anything to do, instead of just watching TV, just add numbers, right? I mean, at least you can say, yeah, I calculated the Fibonacci sequence on to 1,033,000 and something, right? That would be cool. Maybe for me it will be cool. All right. So let me give you a couple properties about the Fibonacci sequence, which I think are very interesting. So the first one you already discovered. So you basically beat me at that one. First one is that whenever you add two consecutive numbers, you will get the next one. That's one of the very important properties of the Fibonacci numbers. Yes? You have another one? What is it? So that's more like a geometric property, you say. That's pretty good. We'll see. We'll see later. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So another very important property that probably you haven't heard about before is that you can write any number you can think about as sum of Fibonacci numbers. So what does that mean? For example, the number 4. The number 4, I can write it down as, say, 1 plus 3. 1 and 3 are Fibonacci numbers, right? So I can write 4, which is not a Fibonacci number, as sum of Fibonacci numbers. Yes?
How many Fibonacci numbers? Because you can add 1 and
the representation is not unique.
But it's kind of obvious.
What?
You have 1.
Yes, so you can do that.
Yeah.
The question, and actually that will be the question right now, is can we do it, say, for the numbers 1 to 20, and let's try to find all the possible ways that we can use Fibonacci numbers. Of course, and that was a great point. You have 1. 1 is already a Fibonacci number, right? So of course you can write down any number as sum of Fibonacci numbers. 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, right? I can write down 2016, but again, it will take me like probably a good 5 minutes just to write it down. But probably I can be a bit more efficient. So there are many ways of doing it. Yes?
Are you able to write any number as a sum of Fibonacci numbers without repeats?
That's a very, very, very good thought.
Of course you can use
That's a very good thought. And actually the answer for that is yes. You can do it without repeating numbers. That's a very good thought. So right now, again, the challenge is, can we write down the numbers 1 through 10, through 20. 1 through 20, a sum of Fibonacci numbers, and try to find different ways of writing down the same number. Because again, she basically already spoiled the whole thing for us. Because she said, you can just use ones, right? So now the challenge is, can I find a different way? Once you find another way, can you find another way of doing it? And maybe keep this in the back of your mind. Can you find what is the most efficient way, the most short, condensed way of doing it without repeating this, of what she said? Okay? So let's try to do that for 1 to 20.
Can you please repeat the questions that are asked in the front, because otherwise people get disengaged?
The questions that people say here. So she was saying that, for example, you can use 1 as the Fibonacci number, and you can add 1 a lot of times. So, of course, you can write down any number doing that, right? So, basically, the idea is, can we use or can we find another representation. Instead of just using ones, can we find maybe using 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 or 5, 8 and 12 and so on? So now the challenge is, can we do that for the numbers 1 through 20? That's the challenge right now. Okay? So let's try to work that out and see what you guys find. So did you guys find it? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, why won't you tell me what you guys found? And I'll promise two things. So you give me what you found for the numbers 1 through 20, and then I'll tell you a very nice trick, and then I let you go eat more stuff. Sounds good? Yeah? Okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I'm pretty sure that you guys found a lot of different ways of doing this, right? There are a lot of different ways of writing this down using these Fibonacci numbers. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Okay. So I'll start with the easy one. 1, right? Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't think too much about that one because we can't really add anything else. Okay, 2. How about 2? You can write it down just as 2, which I'll prefer, right? Because I'm kind of lazy. So if I already have a Fibonacci number, I'll just leave it there, right? But you can also write it down as 1 plus 1. And now that goes back to, I think, what here this people in the front were saying, that you could use 111 a lot of times, right? That's for sure. You can do it. And also, she was saying, well, what happens if I add the restriction of not repeating numbers? That's actually very interesting. So number 3, again, it's a Fibonacci number, so I'll just ruin it for you. It's just the same thing, right? I mean, I can write it down as 2 plus 1, or I can write it down as 1 plus 1 plus 1. But again, I think the more interesting thing happens whenever you're not aiming for repeating patterns, but actually using different numbers. So how about number 4? That's probably the first interesting one. How can we write down the number 4? Yeah. 1 plus 3. What do you guys think about that one? Yes? 1 plus 3. I can also write it down as 2 plus 2, maybe? Yeah? Anybody found that? 2 plus 2. How about 5? What happens with 5? 5. I can just leave it there, walk away. What happens with 6? 5 and 1? 5 and 1. What else did you say?
3 plus 2 plus 5.
3 plus 2 plus 1. That's also valid, right? I'm not repeating anything. Yeah. Do you have another one? 3 plus 3 is also another one that will work, right? So there are many ways of doing this. And you see that the bigger the number is, actually the more different ways I have to write this down. Of course, I think these ones are interesting whenever you don't repeat any number. Whenever you don't repeat any number. How about 7? 5 and 2? Any other one? 3 plus 2 plus 1? Plus 1 plus 1 maybe, right? Yes? You have another one?
5 plus
1
plus
1. 5 plus 1 plus 1. So again, I can come up with a lot of different ways. How about number 8? That's just 8, right? Because this guy is a Fibonacci number. How about number 9?
8 plus 1.
8 plus 1? Where, do you have?
Is 0 a Fibonacci number?
That's a great question. So sometimes we can think of 0 being a Fibonacci number, because what if you go back that month where you started? How many rabbits did you have? 0, right? You didn't have any baby rabbits. So the starting month, you had 1 pair. Before that, you didn't have any rabbits. So you have 0. So you can think about 0 being a Fibonacci number. Yes, yes, definitely. How about 10? What is 10? 8 plus 2? So that works, 8 plus 2. And again, I really want to stress this out. There are many, many, many ways of writing these numbers as some of Fibonacci numbers, right? But just because, I don't know, we want to look for interesting things, I guess looking at numbers that are not repeated is important. How about 11? 8 plus 3. Actually, let me give you a spoiler. You know that you can not only use different Fibonacci numbers, that means not repeating a number, but actually you can improve that by not using consecutive Fibonacci numbers. Actually, you can do that. For example, in this case, here, or this one, better. Here, I'm not repeating numbers, right? 1 plus 2 plus 3. But actually, I can improve this version because these are actually consecutive Fibonacci numbers. You look in here, these are not consecutive. So consecutive means that they are one next to another one, right? So in here, you were satisfying the condition of not repeating numbers, but actually here you have consecutive Fibonacci numbers. In general, actually, it is possible for you to come up with a representation that will have not only not repeated, but actually not consecutive Fibonacci numbers, which is even better. Yes?
So are 1 and 2 consecutive Fibonacci numbers because it's the first and third?
That's right, yes. That's right. So you can put that restriction if you are kind of like trying to challenge yourself. And you can always find a way to not use consecutive ones.
But technically, 1 and 2 aren't consecutive because 1 is the first number.
That's right. We're talking about consecutive within the sequence, right? Within the sequence. How about 12? Anybody for 12? Okay, 8 plus 3 plus 1. Yeah, maybe another one? 5?
3, 1 plus 4 plus 2 plus 3 plus 5.
So let me write it down backwards. 5 plus what you said?
5 plus 3? 3 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1.
Okay, very good. How about 13?
13.
13 is just 13, right? Just Fibonacci. 14?
13 plus 1.
13 plus 1. Did you notice that pattern? After every Fibonacci number, you just add 1. And that's simple, right? How about 15? Well, let me tell you another trick. After every Fibonacci number, you just add 2, right? What do you think will happen with after every Fibonacci number plus 3? That can work, right? Now, what happens after every Fibonacci number plus 4? Wait, I can just look at what I had for the 4, right? Because adding 4 is just adding 3 and 1. Does that make sense? So I can cheat. I don't have to think over and over solving the same problem because I already solved it a lot of times, right? What happens if I have a Fibonacci number plus 5? Well, I think I can just have the Fibonacci number plus 5, right? What happens with 6? Plus 1, right? And what happens with this guy? I guess this will be, I can just do 7 by doing 5 and 2. So again, I'm lazy. Because I already did the hard work. So I can kind of like take advantage of that, I think. Okay? So now let me show you this cool trick that I don't know if you guys knew about. And the thing is that we can use these Fibonacci numbers to actually do conversions. So, you know, like sometimes it's like me coming from another country where we use kilometers, sometimes I'm like, what is that? What is 5 miles? And I have to do these things in my head, and I'm like, I always get the wrong number. Dang it. I have to grab a calculator, right? But actually, there is a very, very interesting trick that you can use Fibonacci numbers to actually convert from miles to kilometers. Okay? So, are you prepared for this? And then we can go eat. So the idea is, this is the rule. Whenever you have a Fibonacci number, just look for the next one. Okay? Very simple. Just look for the next one. So if, for example, I have the number 1, the next Fibonacci number is the number 2. So 1 mile is about 2 kilometers. Of course, it's not going to be perfect, but it's good enough. For example, 3 miles is going to be about 5 kilometers. Because 5 is the next Fibonacci number, right? 5 miles is going to be about 8 kilometers. 8 is the next Fibonacci number. For example, 13 miles is going to be about 21 kilometers. Again, it's just the next Fibonacci number. I'm not multiplying by anything. I'm just looking at the next Fibonacci number. And then, this is why we were doing this. Because what if we don't have a Fibonacci number? What if I have 7 miles and I want to know how many kilometers are those? Well, I just look at my little table, 7. And I already figure out how to write down 7 as the sum of Fibonacci numbers. So that means that 7 miles is basically 8 plus 3 kilometers. Because I look at the next one and the next one, and this is about 11 kilometers. Just as simple as that. Say, if we want to know how many kilometers are 14 miles. 14 miles. So I look at my 14. I have 14 miles. And what's the rule? The rule is you look at the next one. Right? So I have 14 written in terms of Fibonacci numbers. What is the next Fibonacci number after 13? 21. Very good. So next one is 21. What is the next one for 1? 2. So that means that 14 miles is about 24 kilometers. 23. 24 if you're tired. So that means that any number, we just discovered any number can be written as sum of Fibonacci numbers. And then in order for me to go from miles to kilometers, I just take the next Fibonacci number in my representation. I don't have to do multiplications at all. So sometimes whenever you meet these people that they are like, oh yeah, 37 miles is something kilometers, just like this. It's not because they're doing these products in their head, they just know the tricks. So now I told you the trick, okay? So don't spread it. Just keep it secret. Yeah.
It's too bad it doesn't work for temperature.
That's right, because temperature actually has an offset. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's take a small break, and then we can maybe talk a little bit more about what people were saying about spirals and stuff like that, okay? Hey, how are you?
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
I had an interesting question. What is the presentation program you're using?
Prezi. Yes.
Okay.
So
I've seen this before.
It's nice because it's online. And it has a very, very good animations.
Yeah.
And so much better than PowerPoint.
Yeah, I know. I'd seen this style before.
Yeah.
I didn't know what would look
like. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out.
All right. So let me show you now a more visual way of looking at the Fibonacci sequence. So again, maybe some of you guys have heard about this, and I think it's pretty good. Because at first glance, it looks very unrelated to the Fibonacci sequence. I mean, Fibonacci sequence is 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8 numbers, right? Just numbers. And then we have this thing that is very geometric. So how many of you guys have heard of the golden ratio somewhere? Yeah? It's pretty popular as well. Because I guess it got famous because of these devices. Actually, the ratio of this usually is around the golden ratio. Also, your TVs or computer monitors, they're based on this. And, I mean, you can find a lot of different things where they're based or modeled on the golden ratio. Even, like parts of your body, your face, your fingers, your digits, your arms. A lot of these things actually follow this Fibonacci golden ratio proportions. Yes? I don't know if I can do anything. Oh, this. Okay, the proportions. I'm sorry. I didn't get it. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah? I think so. So let me first tell you what's the golden ratio, or where does it come from, if you have not seen it before. And basically, it's based on this picture right here, this rectangle right here. So the picture has basically a square, this blue or purple guy, and we have two rectangles. So I'm saying two rectangles. There is the red rectangle, right? And there is the big rectangle, which is both blue and red. So you see that, what I'm saying? We have three shapes, actually. I have the square, which is blue. I have one rectangle, vertical rectangle, which is red. And I have the big rectangle, the whole thing. Okay? So basically, the idea of the golden ratio is that the small rectangle that is right here, the red one, has the same proportions or the same shape as the big one. So let me say that again. If basically you rescale the red rectangle and basically turn it around, you will get the big one. That's the idea of the golden ratio. So if you want equations, well, this is basically the way to put it in math terms. What you're saying is that the ratio of A plus B to A is the same as the ratio of A to B. That's basically what it says. Or if you want, basically what I'm saying is that if I do this, A plus B divided by A is the same thing as A divided by B. So that's what I mean by proportion. That's what I mean by having the same ratio. Okay? So whenever we have two numbers, A and B, that satisfy this property, if they satisfy this property, then they are in the golden ratio. Okay? They're in a golden proportion. It's called golden because people thought that it was kind of like a divine proportion, something that is like the most beautiful you can have. I mean, people were very poetic in that time, right? So, we're talking here in the time of the Greeks, Pythagoras and Aristotle and Plato and all these people that really combined mathematics, science, art, and divinity together. So basically, science was literally a religion That's why they call it like a divine proportion or a golden proportion. All right? So what does this have to do with anything that we're doing? Well, first of all, this number, there's a number that is related with this proportion. Is I just include the first digits in here, is 1.6180 and so on. This number is like pi, in the sense that you will never have everything. You will always have more and more decimals. This is what we call an irrational number. Okay? So you cannot spot any repeating pattern in the decimal expansion. It will just go forever. All right? So this number is about 1.61. And let me give you a way to actually calculate this number. So let's try to do this and see if you actually come up with the same number or something close to that. So let me explain the idea. What you're going to do is you're going to grab any number that you want. Positive number. Okay? It can be even a decimal if you want. Any number. Any number. What you do is you do 1 over that number. So 1 over the number you chose. Then you add 1. And you repeat the process. Okay? So again, you just grab any number that you want. This sounds like a magic trick, like grab any number that you want. Then you do 1 over that number. 1 over that number. Then you add a 1. And then you loop. You repeat it. Okay? If you repeat it enough times, actually you're going to start finding the golden ratio. So let's try to do a trick. How about this? Try to grab 5 different numbers and see if actually whenever you repeat the process with all of them, you find the golden ratio. And of course, use a calculator. I don't want you to kind of like be bored to death doing products and divisions. So use a calculator, choose any 5 numbers that you want, positive numbers to make it easier, and then repeat the process. Again, the process is grab the number, do 1 over that number, add a 1, and repeat the process. 1 over whatever your result is, you add a 1, 1 over your result, and see if you are starting to get this thing. Okay?